National Radio Club.
This portion of MarketScope is brought to you by your radio. Record the stations in your market and send them to Phil. You, too, can show how your community sounds on the MarketScope.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to MarketScope for December 2014. We're back in the AirCheck library again this month, going through 2,000-plus tapes to bring you more radio memories.
Here we go with your exclusive 610 WTVN three-day forecast. Today, cloudy, a chance of showers high around 51 expected. Tonight, remaining cloudy, more showers likely. Overnight low about 38, cloudy, a period of light rain to begin the work week, a high of 54 for Monday. Tuesday, chance of morning showers and partly cloudy and a high around 60. Currently, 44 degrees in Dublin, 45 at your official weather station.
When you need to know, tune to News Radio 610 WTVN.
Thank you, big-voiced guy. 11:53, welcome to Sunday morning, 610 WTVN. It's Buddy Barron, thanks for joining us. Phone numbers again, 821-WTVN, 1-800-610-WTVN, or *610 on your Ameritech cellular telephone. News just for guys. This is just, you know, news of interest to men. News just for guys. Dan Dierdorf, who was unceremoniously dumped off the Monday Night Football broadcast, has been snapped up by CBS to broadcast the NFL-AFC games, along with Vern Lundquist, who's a favorite of mine. So that should be a pretty good teaming, Vern Lundquist and Dan Dierdorf. A lot of people complained about Dan Dierdorf. They didn't like him. They thought he was too opinionated, whatever. Like, oh, I thought he was great. I thought he was a real guy. Old football player.
News Radio 610 WTBN. More than just the headlines. More than continuous. In-depth coverage. Twice an hour. Around the clock. From News Radio 610 WTBN. Columbus's news, weather, and traffic station. News fast. News starts right now.
Is done in Kosovo. Good afternoon. I'm Pam Jackson, and this is the 12 o'clock report on News Radio 610 WTBN.
WIND, number one music. WIND, music that's made it by a DJ that's still trying to. WIND, and Connie, and we play favorites. Tom Jones with Daughter of Darkness recorded before his face was lifted, which means he was singing that with two chins. It's 3:40 with Connie at WIND. Chicago has a new comedy hit. The critics and audiences love it. The Prisoner of Second Avenue by Neil Simon. Tickets also at Ticketron. 3:46 WIND. And if you're the 537th person to call, you can win a free ticket, good any time of the day or night, for absolutely nothing. Of course, we don't have the number. This will slim your chances of winning. Arboretum. Well, we had no winners, so I get to keep the free ticket. 3:49 with Connie at WIND. Chicago weather this afternoon, mostly cloudy and warmer with a high near 20. Tonight, cloudy and warmer, low in the teens. 18 at O'Hare, 15 at Midway, and 19 along the lake. Do you feel that you're paying too much for your automobile insurance? Remember, that's ARCO with a double A at ES94677. 3:50 at WIND. Leonard Stern is a real mover, baby. In fact, he's moving one door south. We'll open daily till 7 p.m., Sundays 10 till 5. W-I-N-D, 3:53. Hey, don't forget the WIND Forgotten Children's Fund. One little present isn't going to break you, and it's going to make some kid happy.
The Hot FM 92X, it is 8:44, climbing closer to Columbus' top three countdown. But before then, this is from the Stereo Quad, Suzy Wadd's Honest Engine Book of Stuff. Sting, the Sting guy here, he actually auditioned to become bassist for Billy Ocean's band. This is Honest Engine stuff. He got the job, but he decided not to take it. He went to form his own three-piece band. Instead of being a lover boy, he's a cop doing okay. The Hot FM 92X, it is 8:51 with the Stereo Quad. Here I am, wrapped around your finger, caught between a quarter carat rock and a knuckle. It's all tight. Great feeling. 92X FM comes Thursday morning with Mr. Michael O'Malley. And Pam, you get a chance to score $1,000. It is a 92X Blitz of Hits and Vice Versa. $1,000 Hit Blitz Montage. I played it earlier. You're going to hear it a little bit later. Study that thing. And come Thursday morning, pertinent around 7:10 a.m., you get a chance to win 92X.
If it's got a beat, you know it's Kenny Loggins.
Columbus weather.
Oh, a 50 low tonight. No skeeters yet, but woo! Cloudy skies hanging through tomorrow. Showers are most likely with a 65 high. 68 come Thursday. Chance of showers Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fair skies, 70 high in the city, 73. Nothing but the hits of 92XFM as WXGT Columbus' top three countdown. Central Ohio has been voting for the favorite new song between 6 and 8 this evening. As song number 3 is spelled Sade but pronounced Sade. Last name is A-D-U. Adieu. Sade. Adieu. And smooth operator.
FM 108 WRRB. 20 minutes after 12. We're in the middle of the lunch hour here. And coming up at 12:30, it's Paul Harvey with his news and commentary. And tomorrow morning at GP Communications, you can join Jim Tate on Erie Boulevard East in Newitt. The big February sale is on. Fantastic savings on car stereos, CBs, radar detectors, speakers, antennas, cellular phones, and much, much more. With all expert installation, Jim will have prizes and surprises at GP from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. That's tomorrow. Go out there, say hello, maybe win some nice prizes. Out there. Our weather today, sunny, high 35. Tonight, clear, low 15. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high 35. Right now, it's 29 degrees.
You can count on Agway Values, as good as the land.
Good as the land.
That's so.
A-W-R-R-B. I ain't gonna marry in the fall.
Yeah, it makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it? FM 108 WRRB, Alabama, and Mountain Music. Our weather today, sunny, high 35. Tonight, clear, low of 15. And tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high 35. And it's 12:30, time for Paul Harvey news and commentary. Paul Harvey is brought to you by Buckley Southland Mohawk Valley Oil. When it comes right down to it, your comfort is their business.
For Paul Harvey, this is Bill Butel. I'll be back after this word from Paul.
Paul Harvey has been brought to you by Buckley Southland Mohawk Valley Oil, truly one fuel oil company that's small enough to know you and large enough to serve you. Be sure to listen tonight at 5:30 as FM 108 WRRB presents Paul Harvey with the rest of the story.
WRRB!
FM 108 WRRB. You can see them tonight at the War Memorial. That was the Judds, and now here's the O'Kanes. Can't stop my heart from loving you. FM 108 WRRB, 10 minutes before 1 o'clock, and WRRB reminds you there will be a spaghetti dinner on Wednesday, March 4th at the Mohegan Lodge in Baldwinsville, 58 Oswego Street. Serving starts at 5 p.m. That's a service of your country music leader.
WCAUSM, Philadelphia, first with the hits.
FM, first with Philly's hot new music, Robert Palmer. And I didn't mean to turn you on, sweetheart. Just that I dig hanging from chandeliers while I'm dancing. Let's go dancing on the ceiling with Lionel Richie at CAUFM.
Repeat that class A, por favor.
Thank you very much. It's 1213 at 98 CAUFM. Hello, it is moi, Mike Fraser. Glad to be back. I was in the Big Apple today. And just like Mr. Douglas, keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside. Glad to be back in Philly with you. It's CAUFM. Here's Simply Red. Money's too tight.
Crank up your radio. Here's another hit, 98 CAUFM made famous.
98 CAUFM, ah, yes, love is grand, isn't it? The rapture of romance, the wonder of it all. That one magical moment when you look in each other's eyes and light up that cigarette and pull up the covers. It's Peter Cetera. Here we did it all for love. Love and your father's money. That's Peter Cetera at 98 CAUFM. 1224 is Mike Fraser. Hello. Going to be clear record-breaking lows possible tonight. So look out for those people you know who are capable of being real low. Low about 42. Sunshine later on in the day. A high about 70. Rest of Labor Day weekend looks pretty good too. Sunday high 78, sunshine. And on Monday, Labor Day, sunshine high of 80. Right now it is 53 at CAUFM.
You will be here.
1970 WOHO Gold Rush from 66, a million seller for Dusty Springfield, Wishing and Hoping. And coming up next hour on the show, we'll be hearing from Peter, Paul, and Mary. Also, the Everly Brothers and Jimmy Soul will be in here with a little bit of soul as well. Right now, for West Toledo and Temperance, thanks for calling. We're Gone to the Hop with Danny and the Juniors.
This is Gold Rush on 1470 WOHO Toledo.
Did you ever have to make up your mind?
Well, Band Jack on 55 KRC with Rick Nelson.
A bebop, baby, bebop, baby, for me.
55K, I see the old Wolf Bango bring a nostalgic tear to your eye. If you were in high school in 1966, this was your special song. Remember?
Shape of things before my eyes. Just teach me to despise.
You and the old Wolf Man on a night made for cuddling close. Ah. Yes, indeed, I certainly hope you enjoyed all this good gold on 55 KRC.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside.
Hey, we just outdoing ourselves today. We got hot wax sounded just fine as wine on 55 KRC. And more million-dollar music right after we check the forecast. And we'll do that in a minute. Don't budge.
This is the time of year.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
When we gather from far and near.
You look wonderful. Are you younger?
Matt Dillon is the Flamingo Kid, now playing at a theater near you. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Dang, Nami, that's another movie I can't see.
Now a quick check of the AccuWeather forecast. Mostly clear, cold tonight, low 24 to 28. Some sunshine, milder tomorrow, high 46. I'm meteorologist Bob Larson. Now the 55 WKRC tri-state temperature.
I'm only 10 and a half. And I'm a Toys R Us kid, too. 27 degrees in Hamilton, 29 in northern Kentucky, 29 in Cincinnati. I don't want to grow up. And all clear on the video link with the Weather Service radar. 21 shy of 12 midnight on 55 KRC. It's been a long night for me, boy.
11 down and 1 to go. And you can win the $10,000 Elder Beerman shopping spree in the 12 signs of a 55 KRC Christmas. Listen to hear the first 11 signs and listen for the clues that will lead you to the 12th. It's only a matter of hours now before someone wins the $10,000 Elder Beerman shopping spree. And it can be you if you stay tuned to 55 KRC.
KRC. You know, it being Christmas time and all, I wrote a little Christmas poem that I'd sort of like to close here with. I want to share with all of you out there who've been with me this last year and for so many other years. This goes out to all you wonderful, wonderful folks. Well, when trouble comes your soul to try, you love the friend who just stands by. Perhaps there's nothing he can do. The thing is strictly up to you. For this trouble's all your own, and paths the soul must tread alone. All times when love cannot smooth the road, nor friendship lift the heavy load. But just to know you have a friend who will stand by until the end, whose sympathy through all endures, whose warm hand clasp is always yours. It helps some way to pull you through, although there's nothing they can do. And so with fervent heart we cry, God bless the friend who just stands by. It's Graffiti Gold on $1 million American Hot Wax Weekend on 55 KRC.
Looking for a unique gift that doesn't cost much?
Use only as directed.
Oh, I always do. 2 before 12 midnight on 55 KRC. Ron Schumacher with the latest sports information. The defending Super Bowl champions have been knocked out of the NFL playoffs. Seattle beat the LA Raiders 13-7 in today's AFC wild card game. In college football, in the bowl games in the Citrus Bowl, Georgia tying with Florida State at 17 apiece. In the Cherry Bowl, it was Army 10, Michigan State 6. And in the Sun Bowl, Maryland squeaking by Tennessee, 28-27. Locally in college basketball, the Norsemen over Kentucky State, 84-68. The women's basketball team at NKU defeating Central Missouri, 66-60. In top 20 play, it was DePaul, ranked 5th in the nation, over Northwestern, 61-56. And 8th ranked St. John's over UCLA, 88-69. On behalf of Wolfman Jack, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
It's all done for another week now. Gotta get rid of the empties, clean all the ashtrays up and everything. And, ashtrays, and more ashtrays. Well, anyway, your Wolfman returns 7 days from now. It's 12 midnight at WKRC Cincinnati. And now here's 55 KRC News.
Along with the Wolfman and all of the DX Audio Service staff, I'd like to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and best wishes for the new year. If you'd like to contribute to MarketScope and profile your town's radio stations, send your recordings to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. And as a thanks, I'll send you back a compact disc featuring 60 minutes of miscellaneous classic radio station jingles from all over the country. And this is for a limited time only. Thanks for appreciating radio and all we do here at the DX Audio Service. Now here are the merry musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members.
Greetings, DX Audio Service members. This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Winnetka, California. I'm sure many of you remember KHJ93 from years ago, but it has been Spanish for more than 30 years. It was running some announcements starting yesterday. A friend alerted me to this late this afternoon, early this evening. Announcements in English about the coming of Immaculate Heart Radio, which we knew would happen because the station had been sold to them. As had 1460 KTYM, but I can't hear that out here in the valley after sundown, so I'll have to check more on that tomorrow. Well, there were these announcements, as I say, and there was English language music as well. But beginning about 2 hours ago, this is November 7th in the evening around 9 p.m. Pacific time, so beginning shortly before 7 o'clock, I've been checking in, and the station is currently silent. So, Catholic radio on the way, but silence now. About Tuesday morning, midnight Pacific time, I was tuning around and looked in on 1000 AM, which used to be KOMO Seattle down here, and I thought, well, maybe I'll pick up KCEO, or whatever call letters it's going by now, from Vista, California. It claims to serve Palos Verdes through San Diego. Now, I am far inland from Palos Verdes, so getting them would be a test, but I didn't get them either. What I got was KKIM Albuquerque 1000. I'm wondering if they were running daytime power then, for some reason. Of course, I don't know that, and I have never heard them as clearly before or since. 73 and good DX.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, and this is November 21st. As I'm making these comments, I've just come back from a trip to the St. Louis area and have a couple of radio observations. 590 over in Wood River, Illinois, has been doing a sports format, and they're completely off the air now. Not sure why that is. 850 KFUO is not running their IBOC, at least they weren't as of today. And I think they may be running on reduced power because of how they sound at a distance from St. Louis. Now, I live about 2 hours west of St. Louis, and at night, since the Veterans Day, around that time when we had the cold snap come in, I've been getting KMOX like gangbusters here at night. And normally, I'm in their skip zone, so I was really surprised that I've been getting them consistently very well at night. It almost makes me wonder if they've changed their antenna array or if it's actually just winter propagation or something, but I've never seen them come in so well, so consistently here at night. Also on 1260 Belleville, Illinois, they're still doing the Disney format, and they're not running IBOC. They haven't for some time now. And then 1380, they seem to change formats a lot, but now they're kind of sticking with whatever crazy format, whatever crazy talk format they've got. They're calling themselves 1380 the X, and saying it's Extreme Talk Radio, I suspect, because some of it's rather blue, perhaps. Anyway, two stations on FM are doing Christmas music.
Hi, this is Mike in Aventura, Florida. I have a big format change. Radio station WSWN, which was known as Sugar 900 in Belleglade, Florida, dropped the Sugar 900 logo, and for a while they were Soft Oldies. They simulcasted with a few other radio stations around the Palm Beaches and around the South Florida communities. They dropped that on Monday, November 10th, and WSWN 900 in Belleglade became the talk of the Palm Beaches. I have got a great question for you. Let's say you have a radio station that's a daytime station. You're broadcasting a live ball game. Suddenly, sunset comes, and it's time for your station to go off the air. What happens? Can you stay on the air, keep the ball game going, or do you have to sign off? I've always wondered about that. I loved this market scope. I enjoyed listening to those great memories, and it's interesting that the radio stations were beginning to sound more information and more newsworthy, but yet they still had the entertainment spark, which is great. And it's really sad that radio can't do that today. I was wondering, on your next market scope, if you could play some of the South Florida radio stations such as WQAM, WFUN, WGBS, and WINZ. I would love to hear those stations again and what they sounded like back then. Thank you for the DX audio service. I love it.
This is Tim Hendel. In the November DX audio service, there was an article about a radio personality, Gary Hauser of Abilene, who was killed in a car crash. Well, I immediately thought of Glenn Hauser of Enid, Oklahoma, the one who does World of Radio, and I wondered if they could possibly be related, two guys named Hauser in the Midwest doing radio. So I wrote to Glenn, and in case you were wondering, as I was, Gary Hauser was not related to Glenn Hauser. Also, on the musings, I noticed that there's a real big difference in audio quality among the calls that are on the musings line. Some of the calls are really kind of hard to understand, and I suspect that people are using cell phones. I would like to urge anybody, if possible, don't use a cell phone. Use a landline even if you don't have flat rate long distance. You're only going to be charged for 1 or 2 minutes of long distance phone time, and the thing you put on the musings will be so much clearer if you don't use the cell phone. I want to thank Skip Dabblestein and Fred so much for bringing us the record that was really an extended infomercial for Hallicrafter shortwave radios narrated by Alex Dreyer. Well, I had this record when I was a kid. It was two sides of a 45 RPM record, and I never, ever thought I would get to hear it again. My copy, of course, is long, long gone. So thank you very much for a fun bit of nostalgia.
This is Terry Livingston Hughes. A little update on KHJ. KHJ 930 is now going to become a Catholic radio station, and beginning with Sunday night, Monday morning, they stayed on the air all night and did so again last night. So I gather their operation of a few hours and silence for the next hours has now finished. And they are doing little countdown station breaks. You know, this is in 6 days. Catholic Radio will come to KHJ 930 Los Angeles. Words to that effect, anyway. I haven't memorized the slogan, but that's all they tell us. When I know anything more, I'll let you know. 73 and good DX.
And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205, 24 hours a day. Keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. Let us know about what you're hearing in your neck of the woods, and of course, keep us up to date with any stations going silent or coming back on the air. Before we move on, I have some more sad news to report, and that is the passing of DXer Jeff Cadet. Jeff was amateur radio call sign K1MOD, and he was one of the top TV DXers in the WTFDA. Jeff passed away on Saturday night in Peoria, Illinois, and will be missed. Tom Magliozzi, one of public radio's most popular personalities, died of complications of Alzheimer's disease. He was 77 years old. Tom and his brother Ray became famous as Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, on a weekly NPR show called Car Talk. They bantered, told jokes, laughed, and even sometimes gave some pretty good advice to listeners who called in with their car troubles.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Thoughtful Accommodation here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah,
whatever that means.
Well, you'll know in a second, and you'll never guess who is the one who has such thoughtful accommodation.
All right, well.
And the answer is the Centers for Disease Control.
Oh, really?
Now, you tell me, when was the last time you went jogging? There you go. Okay.
If there was one thing that defined Tom Magliozzi, it was his laugh. It was loud. It was constant and infectious. His laugh is the working definition of infectious laughter, says Doug Berman, the longtime producer of Car Talk. He remembers the first time he ever encountered Magliozzi. Before I ever met him, I heard him, and it wasn't on the air, he recalls. Berman was the news director of WBUR Radio at the time. I just heard this laughter, he said, and then there'd be more of it, and people would sort of gather around him. He was just some kind of magnet. The Magliozzi brothers grew up in a tough neighborhood of East Cambridge, Massachusetts, in a close-knit Italian family. Tom was 12 years older, the beloved older brother to Ray. They acted like they were just a couple of regular guys who happened to be mechanics, but both of them graduated from MIT. After getting out of college, Tom Magliozzi went to work as an engineer. One day he had a kind of epiphany. He told graduates when he and Ray gave the 1999 commencement address at their alma mater. He was on his way back to work when he had a near-fatal accident with a tractor-trailer. He pulled off the road and decided to do something different with his life. I quit my job, he said. I became a bum. I spent 2 years sitting in Harvard Square drinking coffee. I invented the concept of the do-it-yourself auto repair shop, and I met my lovely wife. Well, he wasn't exactly a bum. He worked as a consultant and college professor, eventually getting a doctoral degree in marketing. And Tom and Ray Magliozzi did open up that do-it-yourself repair shop in the early 70s. They called it Hacker's Haven. Later, they opened up a more traditional car repair shop called the Good News Garage. Tom and Ray Magliozzi grew up great friends despite a 12-year age gap between them. Both graduated from MIT before going into the car business. They got into radio quite by accident when someone from the local public radio station WBUR was putting together a panel of car mechanics for a talk show. They called Ray, and Ray thought it was a dumb idea, so he said, "I'll send my brother," and Tom thought, "Hey, great, I'll get out of breaking my knuckles for a couple of hours." And he went over, and he was the only one who showed up, said Berman. Berman said the station liked what Tom did and asked if he'd come back the next week. This time he brought Ray, and the rest, as they say, is history. In 1987, Car Talk went national on National Public Radio. The Magliozzi brothers were a huge success. Listeners loved their blend of humor, passion, expertise, and just plain silliness. When it came to cars, Berman said the brothers really did know what they were talking about, but he says that's not why people listen to the show. "I think it has very little to do with cars," he says. "It's the guys' personalities, and Tom especially, really a genius, with a great mind. He is mischievous. He likes to prod people into, honesty. It's as almost impossible to talk about Tom Magliozzi without talking about Ray. Berman says the affection you heard on the radio show dated back to their childhood, and it was real. For Ray, he idolized Tom. This is the guy who introduced him to everything in life, and Tom liked having his little brother around. Berman said he liked the guy, so when they grew up, they were naturally really good friends.
Eagerly awaited the arrival of the vault. "My God, I don't think we can last another day," said Zrajczyk.
Tom and Ray haven't done a show live for the past 2 years. Car Talk has been airing old archives of the show. Berman says Ray would like to continue doing that as a tribute to his brother.
This story is called America's Radio Nations by Frank Jacobs, written a year ago March. The natural state of any territory, it seems, is binary. The center cannot hold, so it splits in two. France is Paris and La Provence. Russia is European and Asian. Belgium is Francophone and Dutch-speaking. In Italy, the north is distinct from, and even opposed to, the south. So too in England, while in Scotland it is the highlands versus the lowlands. America, for its part, can be described as a pincher-like dichotomy, a bi-coastal entity separated by the flyover states. Of course, some cookies can crumble in more than one way. Not only is Germany still digesting its decades-long divide into capitalist West and communist East, but it also splits into gastronomically distinct northern and southern halves along the so-called white sausage equator. This is more than you thought you'd want to know, isn't it? China is an industrious coastal zone with a western interior in catch-up mode, but it also speaks Mandarin in the north and Cantonese in the south. Now, all this is a way of saying the U.S. can be split in at least three different ways into dual geographies. There's that bicoastal pincher movement, as per above. There's the historical division into north and south. Finally, there's the distinction of back east versus out west. An informal dividing line between the latter pair is the Mississippi, a waterway also used to demarcate the border of 10 states. The Mississippi as a whole also serves as a single divider, surprisingly enough, in the realm of radio, a medium that on the face of it is not as bound by the strictures of territorial demarcation. West of the Mississippi, all radio stations have call signs beginning with K. East of the river, all call signs start with W. Well, most of them. The origin of the KW division goes back just over a century. In 1912, the U.S. federal government started licensing terrestrial radio stations, including experimental stations, that would assign the call letters W to the east and K to the west. Those letters were the result of international agreements hammered out at the International Radio Telegraphic Conferences at the beginning of the 20th century. Appendix 42 to the radio regulations of the International Telecommunications Union, ITU, still lists all international call signs as assigned at the 1912 London Conference. For instance, Luxembourg stations will have call signs from LXA up to and including LXZ. Egyptian radio has three different ranges of call signs at its disposal, 6AA to 6BZ, SSA to SSM, and SUA to SUZ. The U.S. has four, not just KNW, that's KAA to KZZ, and WAA to WZZ, but also half of A and all of N. It seems that the letters A and N apply only to military radio stations, A to Army and Air Force, N to Navy and Coast Guard, and that they're the basis of the otherwise seemingly random choice for KNW. And here's why. The Morse code for A is dot dash, and for N is dash dot. Add a dash to each, and you get dot dash dash, that's W, and dash dot dash, and that's K. Incidentally, radio call signs are reversed out on the ocean. Ship radios on America's Pacific coast start with W and with K on the Atlantic side. It's unclear whether this practice, which precedes call signs for terrestrial radio, is the reverse by intention, in other words, to facilitate the distinction between stations on land and at sea, or, as some sources state, the result of miscommunication. If that were the case, the aim was originally to extend W call signs to radio stations on land in the west of the country and K to terrestrial stations in the east, but the instructions got scrambled somewhere between the draft of the order and its implementation. Might be. Quite early, the border between K country and W land had to be fixed geographically, but that dividing line lay further to the west than it does now. It actually followed the border between New Mexico in the west with Texas and Oklahoma in the east, then north along Colorado's eastern border with Kansas and Nebraska, Wyoming's eastern limits with Nebraska and South Dakota, and finally Montana's with the Dakotas. I didn't know that, did you? This may have been done to continue distinguishing between ship radios in the Gulf of Mexico, which started with K, and land radios in Texas, which started with W when it was an eastern radio state. A decade into the first federal regulation of station call signs, the KW line was moved to the Mississippi, and that meant Texas and 10 other eastern W states now became western K1s. After January 1923, new radio stations in the switchover states would be assigned a K call initial rather than a W one. But a grandfather clause provided that those stations in those states which already had a W call sign could keep it. This explains some of the anomalous call signs still in existence today in those states. But of course, there are others. There are currently 27 exceptions to the general KW divide, and some of these were, of course, grandfathered in before the rules changed. There are 9 Ks in W country, KDKA, KOTC, KSGM, KFNS, KWAM, KTTG, KFIZ, KQV, and KYW. 18 W's in K-Land include WBAP, WDAY, WEW, WHB, WJAG, WKY, WNAX, WOAI, WOC, WOI, WTAW, WDBQ, WHO, WMT, WSUI, WBBZ, WIBW, and WMBH. In 1987, the Federal Communications Commission noted that the current staff practice was to define the remainder of the KW boundary in Minnesota that was north of the Mississippi's source as a line from the Mississippi headwaters to a point at the Canadian border just east of International Falls. Well, got that? That's Frank Jacobs writing an article entitled America's Radio Nations. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
Here's an AM switch sidebar. The FCC deals AMs a setback on translator moves. Waivers won't bring relief for AMs after FCC rejects Tel City plan.
It may have been the most closely watched waiver request in a generation because of its potential impact on AM radio. But despite popular support among broadcasters, the FCC has rejected the so-called Tell City waiver request that would potentially have given AM operators more flexibility in buying FM translators and moving them into their markets. AM radio's champion inside the FCC, Commissioner Ajit Pai, says he's disappointed with the Media Bureau decision denying the Tell City request, which he says would have given some immediate relief to AM broadcasters. He calls the outcome a temporary setback for radio station owners. I'm Dave Alpert.
Researchers discover Wolverhampton man's secret past. He was a happily married insurance agent with a secret that he took to the grave. This story was published in the Express Star newspaper. Geoff Hanley was known to be a keen radio ham, but nobody realized exactly what he was doing once he donned a pair of special issue headphones in his garden shed. He would leave his family night after night to operate from the radio shack that was specially blacked out for fear of air raids, and in which he kept a stun gun, Lee Enfield 303 rifle, and hand grenades. When the siren sounded, he ensured his wife, two children, and dog were safe in the shelter he had dug in the garden of their Wolverhampton home, but he would not join them. He stayed above ground at his post in the shed, continuing to secretly monitor German military radio signals. The operation was so hush-hush that even he may not have been entirely sure how the information he gathered was being used. But he was certain of two things. It was important, and he could not speak about it to anybody outside those he worked with. That meant wife Annie and sons Philip and Robert were kept in the dark, along with colleagues in the Home Guard Communications Unit with which he served during the Second World War as a civil defense officer, in a base at Bantock House, just yards from his Uplands Road, Finchfield home. Mr. Hanley, a naval wireless operator during the First World War, had been secretly recruited as a voluntary interceptor by the security services to monitor German military radio shortwave communications from home during the Second World War. These included Enigma-coded messages which were sent to experts at the Government Cipher Center at Bletchley Park, where they were used in the operation that broke the code in a move reckoned to have shortened the war by up to 4 years. It is believed he regularly met up with David Etchells, another secret listener based in Wolverhampton, to share notes before they went to Bradmore Post Office and dispatched them to Bletchley Park. The work of the voluntary interceptor was so secret it was not made public until the late 1970s, and a BBC documentary, made in 1979, told their story. But the names of many of the near 1,500 radio enthusiasts nationwide who had been covertly recruited for the work by the Secret Service were not disclosed. So, Mr. Hanley's involvement remained unknown until a few months ago, many years after his death, when researchers at Bantock House Museum in Wolverhampton stumbled on the first clue to his secret double life. The mystery of his wartime heroics is now being unraveled by them after a chance call from Harry Platt, 91-year-old man who had got to know Mr. Hanley while delivering groceries to the family in the late 1930s. Mr. Platt, now living in Ashmore Park, was a wireless-mad teenager working as an errand boy and recalled, "I had been playing with crystal sets from the age of 12, and 2 years later was begging people to give me their old wireless so that I could mess about with them and learn how they were built. I regarded Geoff and his family as well-to-do people when I started delivering groceries to their house. He was a rich man as far as I was concerned. We were poverty-stricken when I first met him at the age of 16 at the end of 1939. Before that, I had always dealt with his wife because he was at work when I called. One day I mentioned the 20-foot wireless pole in the back garden with the cable leading to a garden shed and explained that I was fascinated by wireless. Mrs. Hanley said, "My husband would be interested to show you around the shed, or radio shack as he called it." And that is exactly what he did when I returned one evening soon afterwards. He was very kind to me, and our relationship grew, leaving me hooked on the world of wireless and communications for the rest of my life. He would let me listen in as he got in touch with radio hams all over the world. He would say things like, "Oh, this is my friend in America," and show me how to use the equipment. I loved listening to the sound of the Morse code. In 1940, my brother Ralph was killed by a bomb in North Africa. He had only been in the Army for 18 months. I was unfit for military service and mentioned my brother's death to Joff, whom I was going to see at least once a week at the time. He showed me a cutting from a newspaper that was a propaganda poster which claimed to show the Nazi war aims. He said, "Look at this. What is the government doing about it?" Then he showed me a cloth map that indicated the countries that had been taken over by the Nazis and how they intended to dominate the world. All the countries seemed to be colored red. He said, "We got this off a captured German officer." I am sure that he once mentioned something about intercepting radio transmissions in an effort to break the secret code of the Germans. But these were conversations I had over 70 years ago. I knew he was doing something important for the government, but only began to realize what it was after the news broke about the voluntary interceptors all those years later. Joff and his family moved from Uplands Road to Paget Road after the war, and I lost touch with him. But before he left, he gave me some of his equipment. Among them was a set of headphones and some handbooks and magazines. I realized that I was not getting any younger, and the items might be of some use to a local museum, and so I approached Bantock House. Helen Steedham, its curator, said, "We are offered things every week, but often have to turn them down. Fortunately, when he called, we were trying to get more details of the important role played by the Home Guard unit that was based here after Bantock House was requisitioned by the military during the Second World War and turned into the Regional Communications Center for the West Midland. We were surprised and delighted when we saw what Harry had." Ann Almond, a volunteer researcher at Bantock House, explained, "It is like putting together a giant jigsaw puzzle without knowing exactly what the picture is meant to look like when it is finished. So little has been written about this that you have to rely on the memories of those who were there at the time." Inquiries revealed that the headphones handed over by Mr. Platt, serial number MD2455, had been manufactured by Western Electric USA and were issued to voluntary interceptors. It was the first clue that there had been far more to Mr. Hanley that had met the eye. There were also literature including the Admiralty Handbook of Wireless Telegraphy. His son Robert, a former Wolverhampton police officer now living in Telford, confirmed, "My father spent night after night in the radio shack but never spoke to us about what he was doing there. He took his secret to the grave, which goes to show the respect he had for the Official Secret Act, and may have been protect my brother, mother, and I. I knew nothing about this until contacted by Bantock House, but now I feel very proud now that I have been told something of what he did. I only wish I knew more about them." Grandson David Hanley, a 49-year-old father of four and environmental services manager living in Telford, said, "It was both enlightening and moving to discover a little of what my grandfather did during the Second World War. I knew that people had taken war secrets to the grave, but had no idea there was such secrecy in my own family, just a generation away from myself. I am very proud and humbled that he could play such a key role in such an important part of the war. Despite not being able to contribute physically to the war effort, he was able to fulfill his duty in another way. I am sure that his actions and those of his colleagues saved many lives. Like others, he had done his bit in the First World War, but was ready to serve again. Communications expert Mr. Hanley was born in Leeds on December 10, 1899, and died aged 67 in Wolverhampton. He met his wife in Southport, where they married on August 19, 1930. It is thought they met through a mutual interest in music. He played a banjo in a band while she was a pianist and singer. He joined the Navy as a teenager, serving as a wireless operator when he was probably involved in listening and intercepting enemy signals. This sparked his interest in radio operations. After leaving the services, he worked for the Cereal Products Department of Spillers in Wales and Birmingham before becoming an insurance agent. He helped to found the Southport Wireless Experimental Society in 1920. His call signs were 5AW, one of the earliest, and G8LP. That was his transmitting license. He used an RME-69 receiver from 1938. Amateur radio hams recruited as voluntary interceptors were asked to listen on HF for anything they could not recognize as genuine commercial or military transmissions and send them in by post written on a log sheet provided that showed date, time, frequency, and what was heard. Initially, these went to the Secret Service in London, where experts checked the logs and notified the amateur where they were not wanted or further intercepts were required. The organization was given the title of the Radio Security Service, RSS. They were logging whatever was heard and amongst it all, located some strange stations using ham chat, but with three-letter call signs, and on top of that, sending messages in five-letter groups of code. This was strictly forbidden for amateurs. The MI5 experts in London, looking at these reports, managed to decipher some to discover that they were in a hand cipher that translated into German. Moreover, the translation showed that they were not ordinary signals, but apparently coming from the German Secret Service, other organizations set up by the Nazis. Bletchley Park, previously uninterested or too busy, immediately took note and required all future messages to be sent to it. It became apparent that there was a lot to be uncovered about these secret transmissions, and increasing numbers of radio hams were recruited throughout the UK, and the battle to break the Enigma code began in earnest. This has been Researchers Discover Wolverhampton Man's Secret Past, which appeared in the Express Star newspaper. You can see pictures and read this story by going to www.dxas.org/1411WAR in small letters. I'm Chris Gay for the DX Audio Service.
Radio Shack said to reach $590 million refinancing agreement. This story is by Beth Jinks in the Wall Street Journal. Radio Shack Corporation, the electronics chain trying to stave off bankruptcy, reached an agreement with a consortium led by Standard General LP to refinance about $590 million of loans to restock inventory ahead of the holidays, a person familiar with the matter said. Standard General, a New York-based hedge fund, will lead a group of lenders to refinance debt outstanding under a $535 million asset-backed revolving credit line from GE Capital, the lending arm of General Electric Company, said the person, who asked not to be identified because the negotiations are private. The pact also includes refinancing of some additional debt, according to the person. The move may provide Radio Shack with enough of a financial cushion to last through the crucial year-end shopping season. Still, it doesn't change the long-term picture for the struggling retailer, said Anthony Chikumba, an analyst for BB&T Capital Markets in New York. Radio Shack has posted 10 straight quarters of losses, hurt by competition from e-commerce sites and discount retailers. This is a stopgap measure, said Chukwuma, who has a hold rating on the shares. It will get them through the 2014 holidays. This does not in any way, shape, or form guarantee their long-term viability. Radio Shack shares jumped as much as 67% to $1.65 in early trading after Bloomberg News reported on the agreement. Before today's gain, the stock had lost 62% of its value this year. Standard General said in a filing last month that it was working to improve Radio Shack's liquidity ahead of the holiday season. The fund, Radio Shack's largest investor, also entered into a standstill agreement lasting until June 2015 that prevents it from taking over the board or proposing an acquisition or restructuring without Radio Shack's consent. The refinancing gives Fort Worth, Texas-based Radio Shack access to more cash and greater flexibility, since the current debt agreement restricts how much money it can draw from the revolver, according to a December 13th filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. It also may provide the retailer with enough leeway to close a larger number of underperforming stores, helping the company burn less cash. Radio Shack creditors blocked a plan earlier this year to shut 1,100 stores, forcing the retailer to limit the closings to as many as 200. Officials at Radio Shack and Standard General didn't respond to messages seeking comment outside normal business hours. Standard General emerged as a potential savior for the retailer in August when Bloomberg reported that the hedge fund was in financing talks. The firm previously orchestrated a lifeline for American Apparel Incorporated, another troubled retailer. Radio Shack Chief Executive Joe Magnica has been remodeling stores and revamping its product lineup in a bid to revive sales. The former Walgreens company executive, who took over last year, brought in a new leadership team and has outlined what he calls the five pillars of a turnaround, including boosting efficiency and repositioning its brand. So far, the plan hasn't reversed Radio Shack's decline. Comparable store sales, considered a key gauge of performance, fell about 20% last quarter. The 93-year-old company has only reported one quarter of positive same-store sales in the past 3 years. Radio Shack said last month it has liquidity of $182.5 million, including $30.5 million in cash. Without reaching a financing agreement, we may not have enough cash and working capital to fund our operations beyond the very near term, which raises substantial doubt about our ability to continue as a going concern, the company said. Radio Shack shares have mostly traded under a dollar in recent months, prompting the New York Stock Exchange to notify the company in July that it was out of compliance with trading requirements. At least two analysts set $0 price targets on the stock. Radio Shack began in 1921 as a mail-order retailer in Boston that catered to amateur ham radio operators and maritime communications officers. It expanded into a wider range of electronics, and by the 1980s was once seen as a destination for personal computers, gadgets, and components that were hard to find elsewhere. In recent years, competition from Walmart and an army of e-commerce sellers has hurt customer traffic. This has been Radio Shack said to reach $590 million refinancing agreement by Beth Jinks in the Wall Street Journal. I'm Phil Wayne for the DX Audio Service.
Surprise! WLS to hire Steve Dahl for afternoons. This was posted on the Radio Insight radio board on October 7th. Cumulus Chicago announces that iconic Chicago personality Steve Dahl will return to WLS AM as host of a new weekday show after almost 6 years away from broadcast radio. Cumulus will also partner with Dahl to expand his successful podcasting network, the Steve Dahl Network. Dahl's new weekday show will debut on WLS Monday, November 3rd from 2 to 6 p.m. A Chicago radio fixture for over 30 years, Dahl hosted a popular show on WLS from 1980 to 1985. He has been called the founder of modern FM talk radio and has influenced countless other comedians and broadcasters. Dahl's new show will feature his signature everyman sense of humor and his passion for music, sports, entertainment. Although he was born in Southern California, Steve is as Chicago as they come and embraces the city and its people as its own.
In 2009, Dahl began working in the new medium of podcasting and started the Steve Dahl Network in August of 2011 from his home. The network offers 11 unique weekly shows via subscription-based podcast. Peter Bolger, operations manager for WLS, said, "Chicago and WLS are known for great radio personalities. That's why I'm proud and excited to have Steve Dahl back on the Big 89. Dahl said, "I'm ecstatic not only to be a part of the Cumulus Radio family, but also partner with them in the podcast network. This is an important new chapter in radio's future." You can read more about this at www.dxas.org/1411 and DAHL, all in small letters. I'm Wally Warro in Dallas, Texas. It's the end of part two of the DX Audio Service for December 2014. But it seems we have more material, so we're going to go to part three of the DX Audio Service for December 2014. We'll see you there.